Wednesday night comes around and
so you're staying is what you're telling us. You're saying? Yeah.
What's
that? So you're staying.
We're vomiting everywhere.
Oh, okay.
That's right. So pick up the phone, call the heavy metal vomit party dudes. It's 877-500-5266. Go online, kboo.fm. We're joking around, but this is really, really serious stuff, right, Pamela?
It's all good. I mean, serious or not serious, we're not going to make distinctions. It's good stuff, right? I mean, it's all good stuff. And I just really want to encourage people again. It's just a monthly deduction. It's the easiest way to donate. 877-500-5266.
And we're almost heading into the next programming now, so give us a call, 877-500-5266. We want all the new members we can, so get excited and let's roll.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, we have Preference Radio. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Step House Networks, offering high-speed residential and business internet services throughout the Portland area. More information about Step House Internet Services is available at 503-548-2000 or at stephouse.net. This program has also been made possible by Radio Cab, the transportation choice of Portlanders since 1946, with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab has a mobile app that allows you to book a cab with your phone, available at the App Store, Google Play, or at radiocab.net. Or if you prefer, you can talk to a real person at 503-227-1212. And finally, this program has also been made possible by Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. Smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com. And now, Preference Radio. Welcome, dear listeners, to Preference Radio. We're an experiment in queer radio, and we're happy to be here with you. We are here every second Tuesday and every fifth Tuesday, just in case. So that'll be coming up next month. Before we get started on today's show, I want to make an announcement. It's Halloween season coming up. It's not even summer yet, but we're already working on Thrill the World Portland. This is a worldwide simultaneous thriller dance, of all things. And I've been organizing this in Portland for, this will be our 10th year. And we do this as a fundraiser we've done it as a fundraiser for 9 years for SMRC, Portland's Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. This year, we're splitting our proceeds between SMRC and Sankofa Collective, which is the was formerly the black chapter of PFLAG here in town. So we're super excited about that. We have about 175 dancers on average every year. And this year, there's so much interest and so much excitement that we had a practice last night, which is about 3 weeks earlier than we usually start, and had a lot of folks turn out. So you can join. Look for us on the web. Thrill the World Portland. Come dance with us. Come be a zombie with us if you like. Come learn Thriller, or at least come and cheer us on and help us raise money. So we'll have practices for about a... we'll start again in another couple of weeks, and then we'll have practices all over town right through the... right up until October 29th when we dance. So we're super excited about that. We have a couple of folks in the studio. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Sure. Hi. Thanks, Alan, for having us on your show. My name's Carrie Cantrell. I'm an intersex person. I'm an intersex-bodied person. I'm one of the founders of NWIAL. That's the Northwest Intersex Action League, and that's a support group for intersex people in the Northwest.
Wonderful.
I'm joined by my friend Megan.
Hi, my name's Megan. I am an intersex ally, and I'm a musician and activist too. I'm in the process of putting on a concert series to support those protecting against the Dakota Pipeline.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'll talk about that later, though.
Okay, wonderful. Carrie, tell us about yourself.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I guess I love that this is such an open-ended show as far as topics go. And preference, you know, when you first approached me about coming on the show as an intersex person, it was kind of, it was interesting and layered, my reaction, especially with the show called Preference and et cetera. But there's so many layers to the word preference, and there are so many things that build up, your preference as a human being as you experience life and engage with people around you. And, you know, as far as, you know, sexual preference, which is a fun topic, and it's a very racy topic.
Picante, even.
Very picante, super. But, you know, it's something that a lot of people wonder about with intersex people, because intersex people, just to define intersex in a very broad term, intersex people is another term for different sex development. And those are people born outside of the typical heteronormative expectations of male and female, women and men. So there can be mixed matches between, you know, chromosomes and, you know, sexual organs and reproductive gonads, et cetera, or even just, you know, how you react to certain hormones and stuff like that according to your genetic karyotypes. And a lot of pressure is put on intersex people to conform to these heteronormative standards right from the get-go. I, for example, like many other intersex people, were subjected to non-consenting, normalizing surgeries on my body, and I was subjected to chemical alterations throughout my hormonal ages, which feminized my appearance and feminized my experience as a person. And, you know, it's a very, very heavy topic, and it's something that we talk about in the realm of human rights. There's violated in an incredibly unjust way as a child by the medical industrial complex, by society. And in a lot of ways now, dealing with that trauma as a child, you know, as an adult now, I'm dealing with that in my preference as I deal with people, especially approaching, you know, romances and mm-hmm. interpersonal relationships with just even friends and coworkers. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me and kind of what I'm doing here.
Sounds like you had a projected role from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And in a way that, you know, I can try and, I mean, I'm your friend and I think about you a lot, but I could never imagine that perspective. It's a very, very unique perspective that really isn't talked about a lot.
Mm. It was almost as if my whole life, you know, I was being prescribed by the doctors a preference. I was being literally shaped to fulfill a heteronormative role and to become the perfect, you know, vessel, I guess, for a heteronormative experience sexually, romantically. And all of my medical procedures were kind of designed around, you know, my future husband, quote unquote, and what they would prefer, and not what I as a person at that moment was going to prefer. And so it was an incredibly disgusting and degrading way to be treated, you know, just as a person. And I think that's something that a lot of people have to unpack as they go throughout life, because this is an extreme example of the pressures everybody faces in this heteronormative society, which says that you have to be in this model in order to be a successful human being.
I believe that's true. I mean, like, I'm a female-bodied person who happens to fit in, or I'm visually perceived as fitting well into that role. But even me, I mean, from my perspective, it's extremely frustrating, and it's totally it's unrealistic expectation.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, understandably, we're here to talk about relations. So that's the heavy part of this conversation. Whew, glad that's over. Excuse me. But yeah, now it's been kind of a long journey as an intersex person, and you know, thankfully I've been able to find community. You know, intersex people are out there.
Woo!
And
yeah, they are.
I found them, and it's created this incredible trajectory for me, which has led to a lot of self-discovery, and it's led to a lot of self-growth. You know, and the path has been long and winding, but I ended up in Portland and also in Oregon, which is where I found even more community and more heart family. And that authenticity coming from such a realm of pain and having that, you know, sort of drive me forward, I think is almost as kind of, it feels like fate, you know what I mean? How this entire experience has shaped my preference, you know, for the better, despite all of the bad experiences. I'm still here, and I'm really happy, and I'm super grateful for this opportunity to find out more about myself every single day with the support of my family and community who I've connected with very recently, you know, Megan included. And that's honestly been one of the most important parts for me about moving forward and being able to be brave and break down those barriers, you know, that were sort of projected onto me since a young age, and be able to break that down because I've got a very solid safety net. And then, you know, that's so with any relationship, but especially, you know, super scary ones like romance and stuff like that, it's, you know, I think what a lot of people don't realize, especially with me and probably especially with other people coming from a traumatic background, like almost there's a very, very thin line between excitement and fear, you know. And for me, as approaching the beginning stages of like a potential even romantic relationship, I'm constantly in an almost state of trigger, you know, because it's terrifying for me, just as a result of all of the expectations and role-playing I was expected to perform as a person who was forcibly assigned female at birth, facing the fact that I'm not anatomically able to fulfill a lot of those roles, such as, like, you know, childbirth or, you know, even having comfortable heteronormative vaginal sex. Like, that's not what my... Yeah, that's you know, that's not what my body was shaped. I was shaped with a diverse body, and it's incredibly traumatic to be told that that's not good enough for the world around you.
Coming from that place of family, I mean, that's where we all start out. That's where we first learn about relationships.
Yeah,
and there's a lot on the line. There's a lot when you have like one other person counting on you, and they've dreamt about you. Oh, they planned out. Oh, well, hopefully they're like this, or blah, 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 blah. And it just that pressure is so big. And I see it, you know, I work with kids. A lot of times I work with children who have one parent, you know, or they have a small household, and they have an intense chemistry, and it's the two of them. And that really shapes a framework for the rest of their relationships. And that's what's so beautiful about community and friendship. You can rewire that kind of stuff.
Thanks for that, Megan. We are going to come back. We're going to talk about the Northwest Intersex Action League. Yep. But first, we're going to see if we're going to find out. We're going to hear from Ani about how you can become a member of KBOO.
Thank you so very much, Alan. This is a great conversation to be listening to. Right now is a wonderful time for your call with your contributions to KBOO at 877-500-5266. It's 877-500-5266. It is a wonderful conversation to be listening to and to be a part of, because in fact, well, heteronormative behavior and heteronormative values are pretty much what we are soaked in and steeped in and day out. And here at KBOO, we offer a little something different. We offer a chance to actually look at the whole spectrum of people in our communities and to connect with everyone in our communities. We do not have that heteronormative expectation. And I'm excited, actually, to be here this evening as somebody asking you right now to pick up your phone and to support this kind of program. 877-500-5266. Or online, you can contribute at kboo.fm. M. It is so important, however you can do it. We ask that you do it right now. There's no better time, really, to connect with your community radio station. We are looking to raise $300 in the next hour and raise that support for queer programming at KABU. And that is such an important thing. Queer programming at KABU, it's been a part of KABU's existence since the late 70s. And it's a tradition that I'm extremely proud of. It is such an important segment of our society to, in fact, make sure we have microphones. We have a platform for our views. We can share our views unfettered by other people's values and interests so that we can grab the people's airwaves and use them for our own empowerment, right? That's what KABU is all about. And right now, we're asking you to back that with just a little money. 877-500-5266. $5 a month is an easy way to give to support your community radio station. In the course of a year, that adds up to $60, which is a nice chunk of change. If you right now have $5 in your wallet, take that leap of faith and pledge it to KABU, knowing that you will have $5 next month and the month after that too, to support your community radio station. Maybe you have $10 that you would like to send our way, and know, again, $10 a month adds up to $120 over the course of a year. Maybe you are somebody who has, in fact, been giving that way for a while now, and you would like to make an additional one-time gift of $25 or $50 just one time to give us a little extra boost, to let us know that you're there and that you're caring and that you're supporting programs that are so important, just like Preference this afternoon. Please do pick up the phone right now and let us know that you are there. Let us know that you are standing up as a proud member of the KABU community. Join us, 877-500-5266.
Thanks, Ani. I'm Alan, your host here on Preference Radio. We've got David in the booth making all of this possible, so I want to stop and thank him for being with us.
Thanks, David.
We are here with Carrie Cantrell and Megan Martinez, and I want to talk next about the creation of intersex community and support. What that looks like.
Okay. Oh wow. Well, I'm still a pretty big newcomer to intersex community. I came out of the closet as an intersex person last summer, 2015. And I found my community, like a lot of millennials find community these days, on the internet. And it was a BuzzFeed video. It's really cool. You should look it up. It's got my friend Pitch Bigoni in it, and Sean Saifa, and Alice Alvarez, and Emily Quinn. They're really great activists, and they're representing this group called Interact, which is a great group. It's a youth advocacy group for intersex youths to start speaking for themselves as far as their health care and awareness and raising social awareness about intersex issues. It's also a legal advocacy group, which has gotten a lot of amazing work done. And that's kind of the legal advocacy arm of the community I've been put in touch with. And then the support group arm of that, which I've had a wonderful experience with, is the AIS-DSD support group. And AIS-DSD stands for Androgen Insensitivity Syndrome -Different Sex Development Support Group. Yeah, and so it's a national cloud-based group. We stay together online and communicate online, and once a year there's a conference in a different city in the U.S., and intersex people kind of converge on a Marriott right outside of the airport and take over for a weekend. And, you know, last year was the first time in my entire life that I had ever been, to my knowledge and awareness, in the same room with another intersex person, let alone a whole hotel full. You know, one of the most troubling and isolating things that we're faced with as intersex people, is isolation. We're told from the very get-go that our conditions are so incredibly rare that we're unlikely to meet anyone else who's like us. So that's very lonely. It's incredibly lonely. And, you know, you internalize all of these really deep, shameful messages from your surgeries, from the messages, you know, your body's not good enough and you're not right the way you are. You internalize all this and you begin to feel like a Frankenstein being chased by villagers. And
no.
The only way...
Stop.
I'm not a monster.
Well, you. If you are, you're like the I'm best, funnest monster.
I'm a giggle monster.
Yeah, you are.
Squeaky. But it's very lonely until you find your people. And then all of a sudden you've reached this level of, oh my God, I do have people who understand me. And it opens up your heart and your belly and your life to all these new experiences you thought were not for you, you know, and joy is one of them. I never thought I would have the joy of knowing someone who understood me, and that changed for me. And I can never be thankful enough for the community who found me. So that's kind of what it looks like to find intersex community. And what it looks like now is varied. There's a support group, which is national and cloud-based. And then there are different regional support groups, like the one I've started here in Portland. That's Northwest Intersex Action League. We're out of the Q Center. We work so closely with the Q Center and all of our allies there. And, you know, this has been such a wonderful community in Portland and so uplifting. There is hardly any reason not to make a support group here. And so what we do is we find each other, we hang out, talk about our experiences, and we create that moment of understanding and looking in the eyes of someone who understands you. And that gives us strength, and that gives us openness to new experiences, and it gives us a way to march forward and start making connections with other people. And thankfully, I've begun making connections with people like Megan, who's an amazing ally. You know,
I love
and
you so much. It just makes my heart shine to see you coming into an empowered place. And Carrie and I work together on an organic farm in McMinnville called Grateful Gardens.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, I mean, I'm thinking about this all the time. I really think if people spent more time in nature and they saw all the variances.
How many different types of squashes do we have to harvest? It's so diverse.
It is so diverse, and it's amazing and beautiful. And it's just like, what? I never saw that in a picture book. But it's beautiful, and it's great, and it's just, I love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the real experience.
Yeah.
And that's the real experience I have. Hopefully people can have with people. But unfortunately, that's...
So,
there's other stuff. Anywho. Know,
intersex community these days is looking like embracing a lot of diversity. Intersex people come from every... It's a genetic thing. It's human thing. It's diverse. It's nature. It's a nature thing. It's you know, it's an evolution thing. And, you know, intersex people come from every single population. Intersex people are trans. Intersex people are not trans. Intersex people are Black, White, Native. People are, you know, there's intersex people from every single cultural demographic, and there's intersex people from every single nation and race on earth. It's nature. We're talking about nature and not being able to suppress that anymore. And that's what embracing community is like for me. And so intersex, man, sometimes intersex people feel a lot of heat because everybody tries to make metaphors out of us and stuff like that. Oh, you're such a great excuse for us to talk about things in this light and put a lens on it like that. But, you know, I mean, call a spade. Intersex people, you don't have any more excuses when you're looking at a real life example of diversity and beauty. And, you know, unlike a lot of parts of nature, intersex people got mouths and we talk. And I talk real loud.
You're good
and
at
so
it.
So I think it's time for the whole planet to start embracing diversity and nature.
I agree. I mean, it's experiencing it. If we can just move away from having a perception and a conception before we have an interaction and just have an experience, we're all just trying to connect. Yeah. It seems simple, but we got to do talk shows and make support groups and stuff. It's understandable.
Well,
but
we're diverse creatures as
I
human beings.
I guess we are.
Yeah, we do things a lot of different ways.
Yeah. True. True.
But yeah, that's the great part about it. And so it's hard. It's a lot of balancing. But we're moving forward, and we're moving forward with newfound joy and strength and friends. And we've got a good goal in mind of just being happy with who we are born to be, you know, and to be our beautiful intersex selves and stay whole. And that's our right as a human being. We we deserve the right to be whole and healthy
visible.
And happy and visible. Thank you, Megan. I see you,
too. I see you.
I see you. Oh, man.
Maybe I'll take the... through intersectionality, too, you know. We're... everyone is coming from a very unique perspective. They're oppressed in one way or another, or they've suffered traumas. And people can suffer traumas just from not having their unique insight supported.
Yeah, so thank you for that point, actually. Because one of the things we're looking for as a community, intersex people, is language. You know, the only language we've been given so far as people is a medical language, and it's incredibly hurtful, that language. Being medicalized, ugh. I identified as queer for a long time and wore that label, and I remember feeling so angered and disgusted when I read about the history of how queerness was medicalized and it was a sickness, and I thought, that's just ridiculous, you know. And imagine the same thing being told about your body, just the way it is, you know, Megan, you beautiful brown skin, like, ooh, that's not right, let's fix that for you. That's not appropriate. Oh, that's a terrible thing to say.
My own thing, you know, I mean, like, I had an aunt who was waxing body hair, and I was 11 years old. Why was I being getting these messages that I'm dirty, or this is unright, or this is unbeautiful? I mean, I'm grateful that I've come into that, but, you know, that's one way my physical body was subjected to being told, oh, it's not right the way it is.
So what we're looking for, I guess, moving forward is like a diverse language to describe ourselves that isn't medicalized. You know, I think that's a huge part of embracing diversity, is being able to embrace different languages and different concepts that aren't ours, and being able to see it and learn from it, you know, and just allow it without having to medicalize it or change it.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll be back with Carrie and Megan. We're going to check in with Ani about pledge status and how we're doing and how you can become a member of our station and our community. Ani?
Thank you so much, Alan. I am here to tell you that we need to hear from a few of our listeners right now to support queer programming and to support Preference and to support independent news and information coming to your ears, connecting us. It helps us know that we are not alone. I can tell you that queer programming on KABU saved my life in a really literal way when I was 12 years old growing up in St. John's, when I thought I was alone. And that was a sucky, sucky place to be. But right now, it's your time to sort of be that lifeline where you can make sure that KABU Signal is going strong so that we can keep reaching out to folks that are feeling isolated, that are feeling alone, that don't know where their community is. Because, you know, your community is right here. It is the community radio station. You, our listeners, provide the fuel that drives us. Please do be that lifeline right now and call us at 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. Or online, you can connect with us at kboo.fm. However you choose to do it, we ask that this is the moment that you just stop what you're doing and you connect in with KABU right now. It is so important that we pool our resources together so that we can continue to grow stronger together. That's the way to do it. And maybe you want to sustain us with a monthly contribution. You know, it's so much easier for me to give in little tiny monthly bite-sized pieces than it is for me to give any larger chunk of change at once. Maybe that says something about my budgeting ability. I don't know. Maybe it's just easier to give $8 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month than to give $180 or $120 or $96 at any one time. However it works for you, though, we're more than happy to meet you there, because, in fact, it takes all of us working together to keep this community station strong, to keep us on the air and keep us growing. Please do add your strength to the strength of KABU. Together is how we do things, right? We are here standing for peace and justice and democracy and human rights and multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. Those are the values that are actually written into our program charter. Those are values that really mean something to me. Those are the values I want to back. And so not only do I give KABU my time, but I've been a monthly contributor to KABU for many, many years now. Please go ahead and reach to your phone and let us know how much you can afford to support your community radio station. You get to set your own price. We are just here to welcome your participation at KBOO. Maybe you can come in and volunteer. Maybe you have some time and you want to actually help answer the phones or learn how to do audio production or be a board operator or host a program, be an investigative reporter, or just file CDs in the music library. However you would like to do that, again, KBOO's here for you. Or maybe you don't have that much time. Maybe you've been really quite busy and it's easier for you to reach into your pocketbook and to support KBOO that way. Whatever it is that makes sense for you, we ask for your involvement because programs like Preference really, I think, underscore the importance of our existence, how we are able to connect to each other over these people's airwaves. It's so important that you are there to connect back in with us. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Please do think about how much you are able to budget. A lot of folks budget, their entertainment expenses at this point. It's how we see movies, right? many of us pay a monthly subscription fee for that. Many of us pay a monthly subscription fee for music services. Many of us pay monthly to do a lot of things. I'm asking right now for you to do something that seems maybe a little bit strange because you can get KBOO. For free, right? It just comes to you through the radio or through the internet as you stream us or through your online phone app. But it's not really free to produce is the thing. So please be a part of what sustains us. Be a part, be a contributor, be participating at your community radio station because really we can't do it without you. It takes $56,000 every year just to pay for our transmitter, our antenna, our tower rentals. That's not pocket change. And so we're asking you to help chip away at that $56,000 or say the $17,000 that we spend for equipment repair every year. Please do be a part of this effort. Go ahead and contribute so that, in fact, we can keep those bills paid and keep the signal strong for you. 877-500-5266. It's an easy number to remember. Just go ahead, pick it up. Give it a call, 877-500-5266. Online, you can join us silently, quietly, and quickly at kboo.fm. Or if you do have that handy KBOO phone app, you can just, open the app and tap on the donate button and it'll lead you through. So go ahead, however it is that works for you, do it now. I'm going to go ahead and give you that phone number one more time, 877-500-5266.
Thanks so much, Ani. We are here at Preference Radio. Happy to have Carrie Cantrell and Megan Martinez with us. We had a telephone call. Carrie, do you want to respond to this question that a caller had?
Sure. Caller, are you still there?
Mm-mm. No. I think we just have a summary of the question. Is there a live group or in town or nearby that folks can learn more about what intersex means?
Absolutely. So the Northwest Intersex Action League is findable on Facebook. We're based here in Portland. And we have monthly meetings at the Q Center, which is on Mississippi Avenue. The Q Center is a great organization. It's a wonderful, wonderful building full of magical people. And it feels like home. And it just rains down inspiration and support all the time. So that's where we meet. And that's once a month. Find us on Facebook. That's the Northwest Intersex Action League, NWIAL, and come in contact with us there. There's also larger, more national support groups that we can put you in contact with once you find us.
Wonderful. Thanks, Carrie. So what's coming up next month?
Next month is October 26th is the date we're looking forward to, and that's the National Intersex Awareness Day.
Yeah.
The eye is not for invisible. anyway, so speaking of the Q Center, that's where this amazing event is going to be held. Me and Megan Martinez, are going to be putting on a very picante sort of benefit concert to support intersex awareness and to, you know,
celebrate
intersex people and to send money towards scholarships for intersex people to find national support groups. And that's also a portion of those proceeds is going to go towards the Dakota Access Pipeline, or I think the the Portland Two-Spirit Society, who's affiliated with the Q Center and
that's
all
awesome.
This wonderful
October
places.
26th.
October 26th.
Is that the national awareness or?
It is a national day. Yeah,
cool.
It's a national
that's awesome.
Awareness day. Yeah.
Will not forget.
Megan, do you have anything else coming up as well?
Yes, I do. I'm Megan Martinez, and I'm a musician here, and I, like everybody else, everyone who has in the know, has felt really, really disturbed by the atrocities going on at Standing Rock. And I'm here in Portland doing my own thing, or I'm actually working on a farm. I'm like, what can I do? What can I do over here? You know, and I'm like, do a concert series, get people together, bring the music, bring the native speakers and the artisans and raise monetary stuff and get everyone together, because being unempowered is not a good way to bring about change in our world. Mm-mm. Being sad and afraid and being like, I can't do anything. That's not true. Just being happy you're doing something, being knowledgeable. So in solidarity, we stand with the people for the land is the name of the concert series. And we have one on September 25th coming up soon at the Goodfoot. And it's $7 to $77 sliding scale. All proceeds go to the protectors fighting against the pipeline. And we're going to have silent raffle. and we're going to have native speakers, musicians, good times, empowerment and knowledge. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about it. We're also going to have it on October 14th at the Laurel Thirst and TBA.
Yeah.
More.
So, yeah, if you're interested in being involved at either of these three events, any of these three events, please get in contact. You can find us on Facebook, the Northwest Intersex Action League. There's also an event floating around for In Solidarity, We Stand With the People for the Land.
You can contact me at megtinez@gmail.com, mm-hmm. M-E-G-T-I-N-E-Z, like Megan Martinez. And then also, if you search Mega Megan Martinez, you'll find my artist profile on Facebook.
Nice.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. We're looking forward to all of these great events coming up.
Yay. Oh, looking for more musicians and artists, too. Right. So please contact me.
And sound and video people and promoters.
Wonderful. Carrie, Megan, thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you,
thank
Alan.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Megan.
Yeah.
All right, I have a couple of announcements. Carrie mentioned the Q Center. Q Center is one of the host sites of our Thrill the World practice series. We're going to be practicing the Thriller Dance. Thriller World, it's our 10th year doing this. Past nine years as a fundraiser for SMRC, Portland Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. This year we're going to split proceeds between SMRC and Sankofa Collective, which was until recently the black chapter of PFLAG here in town. So we're super excited. 10th year dancing. It's a big production. Come learn the dance. Come participate. Come donate. Come watch. Do all the good things. Come be a zombie. Also, the Oregon Safe Schools Summit, which works for justice for queer, trans, and other youth in Oregon schools. They have a summit in early January. They are looking for workshops. So go ahead online and look for Oregon Safe Schools Summit. We have with us in the studio Amelia Pondering and Warren DeQuasi. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Oren, and I am a Portland resident. I am a non-binary transgender person and have been doing work in housing transgender people in Portland, and that's what we're talking about today. Yeah.
What sort of work have you been doing?
I was doing a little bit of work with Portland Tenants United, which is a really awesome organization that's working for tenants' rights right now, and then working on starting spaces where there is room for trans people to be housed, for whatever period of time that looks like for them.
Amelia?
I'm Amelia Pondering, and I run Almost Amelia's Underground Rides. Look us up on Facebook. And I've been a resident of Portland since February. I started out homeless. Orin was one of the kind people who gave me my first shower in the city. And I've worked my way up from there.
What is the Underground Railroad?
It's Underground Rides. Underground Ride. I offer rides to anybody on the LGBTIA plus alphabet soup. Mm-hmm. Any person of color, anybody female identified, get a hold of me. I'll get you where you need to go. Donation only. If you can't pay, it's okay. As long as I got gas, you're getting there. Orin is my first volunteer.
And that's volunteer to give rides, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Stuff's going.
Wonderful. So we've got this, we've got a city in a severe housing crunch for a lot of folks. That's been ongoing for a long time. But the difficulties have expanded. There's so much work to be done. But do you want to give us a picture of what that looks like right now?
The work to be done?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say you have to start with the reality that there's a rental crisis for everyone in Portland, and that has a lot more of an effect on people that are navigating one or multiple intersectional oppressions. So we're out here talking about trans people today, but there are different things that makes it even harder for folks to find housing, and that is the reality that gentrification is coming from colonialism. So it makes it harder for people of color to find housing, obviously, and skyrocketing rents are pushing people that have more difficulty finding jobs or jobs that are paying the big bucks, mm-hmm. which apparently a bunch of people in Portland have. And also has effects on people that are navigating disabilities, and all of these come together and make it harder for people to find housing. The work that needs to be done is like having conversations about that, I think is like us sitting here right now having conversations. Also finding spaces for people to live temporarily, because being on the streets is, I mean, I could let Amelia talk more about that because I, yeah.
Pardon me. Being on the streets in this city, if you are trans, is difficult is not even a proper word. There's nothing I can use on the radio that covers appropriate terming for it. You live in constant fear. Anytime I've been forced to sleep on the streets, I didn't sleep until my body just shut down. You are constantly verbally abused. You are constantly under the threat of physical abuse. And this is true for anybody on the trans spectrum. If you do not fit a gender binary perfectly, your life is literally at risk, and people are more than happy to remind you of that. So it just, that's why I, much with Orin, encourage anybody. If you've got a space, let somebody come in, get a shower, sleep a night, because they probably won't otherwise.
Yeah. yeah, so opening those spaces up for people to be able to eat and shower and be safe to sleep is a huge part of it, and like one step towards getting people housed. Also something that I've been coming across, we're looking for a house right now, is the reality that it's illegal to discriminate for any reason of housing, and it happens all the time. Like there are people that have literally not sent applications to us because they were like taking one look and like, I don't think this is the right people to move in. So that is a reality that hits all the time. Yeah.
We're going to come back in a couple of minutes and continue our conversation about housing issues for trans folks in Portland. But in the meantime, we're going to check in with Ani about how you can become a member of KBOO. Ani?
Thank you so much, Alan. You can do it very easily by calling right now at 877-500-5266. You know, we're talking about such important things here on Preference. And preference, I gotta say, Alan is always talking about super important things, things that are really affecting lives in the community. And this show is a great example of that. Thank you so much for bringing out issues of housing for trans people. This is we know housing in Portland at this time is a challenge for anyone, right? And yet, it is so important to hear from the most marginalized voices in our communities, because, you know, the marginalized voices, they even have a more challenging time than everyone else. That's sort of the thing, right? And this show is doing such a great job of giving the voice to people who are so marginalized. Thank you, Alan. You can thank Alan for doing that work and for reaching out and connecting so many communities together by giving us a call at 877-500-5266 and letting us know that you're there and that you give a damn, that you want to be one of the people in our grassroots. You want to lift us up so that we can continue to do this work in service to the entire community. Please, right now, give us a call, 877-500-5266. You can also contribute online if that's easier for you. Go right ahead and do that. You can get us at kboo.fm. But, you know, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to ask you why this is that moment that you have chosen to contribute to KBOO. We would love to ask you what your thoughts are about KBOO in general. We want to connect with you. You know that you have already connected with your ears and with your heart and with your mind. And we're asking you to just back that up and connect with your pocketbook as well. 877-500-5266. We're looking for just over $200 more for this hour, and we can do it with your support. Really, it is all of us taking collective action that keeps the station on the air, reaching that ultimate goal of $120,000 by September 24th. It is working together is the only way that we can get that accomplished. So please, my good friends, right now, do pick up your phone, 877-500-5266. You can bring your credit card to the phone. You can become a member instantaneously. You can break it out into little bite-sized chunks throughout the year. You can become a sustaining member of KBOO. Please take me up on that option right now and pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266.
We're back on Preference with Oren DeQuasey and Amelia Pondering. We're talking about the housing needs of trans people in Portland. We were talking a few minutes ago about the fact that discrimination against trans people looking for housing, rental housing, is widespread in the city, even though it's illegal.
Yep, sure is. So it's easy to get on tangents about what's wrong. And we were just talking about ways that we can fix those things, which is a big deal. So I think one of them is holding landlords responsible for discrimination against renters for whatever reason that is. It is a constant problem, and I'm not sure how to do that personally. It's a big thing to face. More spaces for folks to stay, and that is for short periods. And I want to just like put a call out to folks that have an extra bedroom that they never use, that have spaces that they can host folks, or have spaces that they would feel comfortable having people live in with cheaper free, to hold those spaces for people to stay and have safety and security in some sort.
Mm-hmm. Not every spare bedroom has to be turned into a short-term vacation rental. They can be used for the benefit of folks who are in need?
Absolutely. That is absolutely true. Since February, I have literally couch surfed across this city, staying on couches, floors, spare bedrooms, bedrooms that weren't currently being used by the normal resident. If you have any of these, you can easily let somebody into your home for a few days at minimum. Let them at least gather their thoughts and figure out what's next. Because when you're homeless, you're not thinking about what's tomorrow. You're thinking about what's 5 minutes from now, and that's how you have to live. If you can even imagine, those in the audience, if you can even imagine a life where 5 minutes could be everything in the world for you. That is the homeless life. And for a trans person, shrink that down to 2 minutes. And so when people think, oh, I can only let them stay a night, that's nothing. That's a meal. That's a shower. It's time to think, which is so huge. And I'm with Oren. I have no idea how to educate landlords. It needs to happen. I just don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm. So,
can I say a quick thing?
Yeah, please do.
So, obviously, rental prices are skyrocketing like all the time. Every year, it is increased heavily, and there are groups that are organizing to stop that. Specifically, one that I've been involved with off and on is Portland Tenants United, and they're doing really awesome stuff. And I think that is a big, I don't know if landlords are going to regulate themselves and, like the reality that like screening processes and, huge rent increases are kicking people out of their homes and kicking vulnerable populations out of their homes is, something that's going to have to happen on a legal level. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be a self-regulated thing.
So let's take a look at, where folks can go if anywhere to find housing. I know there are, I believe that there are an organization or two that serve trans Portlanders who are youth. Is that, am I right with that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. There, I don't know the names. I'm not a youth, and unfortunately I was too busy getting myself housed.
Yeah. Well, I know that there are resources at the Q Center. It's been mentioned many times today.
The Q Center.
I found good healthcare resources, which is absolutely intertwined with being houseless and like being able to take care. At Outside In, I had heard mixed experiences, had very positive experiences, and they helped me get what I needed. And they're awesome and do a lot for folks.
Mm-hmm. Let's unpack that a bit about medical needs for trans people and housing, where those intersect.
It's really hard to be healthy when you don't have a space to stay.
It really is.
Yep.
It really is. Oren can attest, as they've taken me in many times in various states of unhealth. And most of that is truly related to the stress of being homeless. Your body will just literally eat itself if you're under that level of stress for too long. And they've seen me like that versus what is sitting before you now.
Yeah. Also, it's a people that are navigating disabilities along with being trans are way more vulnerable to houselessness. And that's just a reality of capitalism. Mm-hmm. Hate to laugh, but yeah.
Disabilities. One of the biggest issues I found, several of my health issues were short-term disabilities and just access. Places like TPI, which is another place that's helping to house people, they're such a small space that if you have any type of anxiety, you can't be in there during the hours they're open. If you have any type of disability that requires you to have any type of assistance to move around, there's just not space for it. Many of the places that were available at one point for people to sleep for a few days if they needed require you to go up and down stairs. And if you can't walk 20 feet walking up a flight of stairs, you're going to pass out when you hit the top step. And these are the good people. I've been to apartment complexes where between the confusion of the shape of the complex and the stairs and everything else, if you have any form of disability, you're never going to find your place. Mm-hmm. And these are in City Portland.
I think that a really important and incredible thing to see would be more organizing to make spaces open up for people to stay, for specifically trans people to stay. Also, a big concern is safety in housing, too.
Yes.
Because it's... being trans is like walking down the street and not knowing who is dangerous and who is not, and that can be exasperated in like spaces that are already made. Mm-hmm. And is exasperated because you are like forced to stay in these spaces or stay on the street. Yeah.
Oh, yes. One of my regular clients for the Underground Rides is in one of the shelter system homes. Regularly, I go and pick them up. That's the reason why there's stuffed animals in my back seat. They are in such horrendous condition from triggering their various neurodiversities, from being trans, that by the time I pick them up, all they're capable of doing is cuddling a stuffy and being out of the house. And that is a very real thing for all trans people if they can even get into the assisted housing system.
All right, we're going to come back in a little bit. We're going to check in with Ani about becoming a member of KABU. We would love to have you join our community.
Hello, Alan. Thank you. And thanks to your guests for this really hard-hitting interview, this conversation that, in fact, is so very, very important to be a part of. Please avail yourself of this information. This is, again, life and death information. These are people in our community. Perhaps you yourself are trans. I know that here at KABU, it is, well, we have an environment that welcomes people from across the spectrum, right? And I hear from people quite often that being welcomed is not a feeling trans folks are real used to having. I can tell you that as a genderqueer myself. I can tell you that as the partner of a trans person. And here at KABU, we try to provide a little antidote, right? We try to, in fact, create a welcoming environment that brings people in so that we can, in fact, teach people media, arts, so that, in fact, people from across the spectrum can grab the microphone and tell our own stories and create our own information flow so that we can find out what's going on. We can stay connected. We can stay stronger together. Please do give us a call right now at 877-500-5266 and be a part of this amazing community resource. We are still looking to raise another $200 here this evening for Preference and for KABU overall. Please do give us a call, 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm, and let us know again that this is programming that's reaching you, that you know it's important. I want to thank Don. Don, a new member from Clackamas, dropped by 20 Southeast 8th and became a member in person just now. We thank you very much, Don, for doing that. We want to thank you, but we can't do it until you introduce yourself to us with your call at 877-500-5266. Again, your monthly contribution sustains us, and it's so much easier to give little bite-sized pieces every month than to do one large sum. That's true for me. It's true for most people I know, but perhaps for you, it's easier to just go ahead and give us one large lump sum. That's fine. I'm not going to argue. Please go ahead and do that. Whether you can give $10 a month or whether you can give $500 all at once, however it is that you can connect with us, you know why it's important. You've been listening to Preference. My goodness, you know, this program this evening has really brought home so many the points of how we are, in fact, connecting marginalized communities to a bigger whole. And that is the essence of KABU Community Radio. I was telling my story a little while ago about how, you know, growing up as a 12-year-old queer kid in St. John's in the 70s, the only way I knew other queer people existed, I found out other queer people existed by finding out that Anita Bryant was leading a crusade against us. That was all I had ever heard about the gay and lesbian community at that point. So finding Carol Steinel and Howie Bag of Donuts on a program on KABU what called Queersville, by the way, was literally a lifeline. It was literally life-saving. It let me know that as soon as I was old enough to ride the bus across town, I could go and find other people who wouldn't think that I didn't deserve to live, who would actually welcome me, who would actually teach me media arts. And in fact, that's exactly what I did. and it's that kind of importance. It's that kind of lifeline that you are supporting with your dollars. At 877-500-5266. You know, the queer community has made many, many strides since 1978. We have gained a lot of ground, and yet we are still under attack. And there are many, many facets of our community that continue to be very marginalized. And it's important that we make that path for all of us to gain the ground. So please be a part of this community organization that amplifies the voices of marginalized communities and brings people together so that we can share all of these facets of truth, so that we can, in fact, together inform each other. So please do give us that call at 877-500-5266. Online, again, KBOO.FM. Just do it right now. Go ahead. Be that lifeline. 877-500-5266.
We're back on Preference. We have had a wonderful day. Thank you so much, Ani, for helping recruit fabulous members to be part of our great KBOO community. We're going to wrap up here. We've had Oren DeQuasi and Amelia Pondering. Amelia?
Yes, quick plug for my benefit. On the 28th of this month, Anara's Info Shop on Lombard in North Portland. 10 acts, all from the queer and trans community. From 3 p.m. to 10 p.m., $8 suggested donation. Nobody turned away if you can't pay. Come on out, see some great art. Hopefully keep my gars rolling so that people can get where they go.
And that's Amelia's Underground Rides.
Yes. And again, find us on Facebook.
Wonderful. Last thoughts, Oren, very quickly.
Thanks for having us on. And hopefully there will be more infrastructure to talk about later. To help people with housing.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, everybody. Hard Knock Radio is up next. We'll see you soon.
You are listening to KBOO-FM Portland.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series that takes place every third Thursday at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, the film is Chico and Rita, showing Thursday, September 15th at 6:30 p.m. Melao de Cuba, a Latin salsa band, will play, and the film will start at 7:15. Chico and Rita is a 2010 adult animated music and romantic film set in the late 1940s and early 1950s.